Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the MVV Energie conference call regarding its results for the first half of the 2018 fiscal year. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Philipp Riemann.
Good afternoon. I'm very pleased to welcome you to the conference call of MVV Energie. Dr. Müller, our CEO, is going to present the figures for the first six months of our financial year, and he will also provide you with the outlook for this year. This morning, we published our financial report, a press release, and a presentation on our investor relations website. After the conference, a replay will be also available on the site. Dr. Müller will be glad to answer your questions after his presentation. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to hand over to Dr. Müller.
Philipp Riemann, thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our conference call. We are pleased that you join us today for the presentation of our half-year figures. What I'd like to do in the next couple of minutes is to demonstrate that the solid development of our operating business we saw in the previous year continued in the first half of 2018. I would like to begin by saying a few words about some highlights and our new segment reporting we introduced with the beginning of the current financial year. After that, I will move on to the main part of this presentation, the figures for the first half of 2018, and I will then finish, as Philipp Riemann indicated, by giving you the outlook for the full fiscal year. As I've just said, a few highlights to start with. We take those as examples and as sufficient proof that we are getting on with our strategic initiatives regionally and internationally. The first project I would like to mention is that in Dundee, in Scotland. In November 2017, we signed a new partnership agreement. We will be providing environmentally friendly waste management services. We have taken over an existing energy from waste plant, and in the years ahead, we will be replacing this plant by building a new high-efficiency combined heat and power plant right next door. The new plant will generate around 10 MW of electricity and 10 MW of heating energy. We will then supply the heating energy as process steam to a neighboring plant. Preparations for building the plant begin in April, and operations are due to begin in 2020. All in all, we are investing around 135 million euro in this project. Turning to Mannheim, we have decided to expand our location at Friesenheimer Insel and will be investing around 100 million euro here in the coming years. There are two main aspects to this. On the one hand, we will be building a new district heating pipeline, nearly 3 km long, to connect the CHP plant on the island to Mannheim's existing district heating grid. This pipeline is scheduled to begin operations in the 2019-20 heating period. From then on, we will be able to use the heating energy generated from incinerating waste, not only to supply steam to neighboring industrial companies, but also to supply district heating to Mannheim and the wider Rhine-Neckar region. On the other hand, we will be adding a new facility to the plant, one which will take us a step closer to what we call sustainable closed-loop economy. Here, we will be generating green energy from municipal sewage. The facility will also be able to recycle phosphorus, a valuable resource. Thirdly, since we are also here to talk numbers, we distributed a dividend of 0.90 per share to our shareholders after our AGM in March. That means we have again maintained a consistent dividend for quite some time. That is pretty exceptional in the utility business and shows how important continuity is to us. Not only that, the dividend yield comes in at an impressive 4%. So having begun with these three factors, I will now move on to our new reporting structure. As you will be aware, we have consistently aligned our business to the challenges of the energy markets. After a number of years with no amendments to our business segmentation, we changed our reporting structure at the beginning of the financial year for three main reasons. Firstly, we made sure that our reporting reflects our focus on customers' needs. Secondly, we accounted for the growing importance of renewables energies. And thirdly, we balanced the structure of our earnings. In the previous reporting scheme, the old segment generation and infrastructure accounted for too much of these. We still manage our enterprise in five reporting segments and assign the various business units to these. We have reorganized what was previously the trading and portfolio management segment. The commodities business and MVV sales business are now presented in customer solutions. This new segment comprises commodities, retail, and business. This means it includes the retail and secondary distribution businesses, our solutions business for commercial and corporate customers, and the services and trading business at our MVV trading subsidiary. We have split what was previously generation and infrastructure into two segments, the energy from waste plants, biomass power plants, wind turbines, and biomethane plants are now reported under new energies. This new segment also includes our project development and operations management activities. As well as our conventional energy generation, the supply reliability segment also includes the grid business. It comprises combined heat and power generation, grid facilities, and other facilities needed to offer our customers a secure supply of security, heating energy, gas, and water. These strategic investments and other activity segments we have left almost unchanged. Having now described the reporting frame, let me then continue with the content, i.e. our figures for the first half of 2018. The key message is that MVV has maintained its positive operating performance and that in a tough market climate driven by our growth investments and cost management. At 2.1 billion, our sales come in at previous year's level. In line with our forecast, we also increased our adjusted EBIT slightly compared with the previous year's period. To maintain our profitable growth, we made further investments in the period under report of around 155 million in total. In this, like in everything we do, we can depend on approximately 6,000 employees and their expertise, which drives our performance. So after this brief introduction to our most important figures, I would now like to delve into greater detail before turning to the main developments in our reporting segments separately. Our sales remain constant at 2.1 billion with slightly lower gas trading volumes. Our first half EBIT was up 11 million to 2 to 3 million. Here, positive one-off items from the sale of assets were offset by impairments in the project development business. I will come back to the main factors in the individual segments later in my presentation. After tax of around 30%, adjusted net income came to 131 million, up 7% on last year. Minority interests total 21 million. That leaves us with adjusted net income of 119 million, 5% higher than last year. Earnings per share, which are based on adjusted net income after minorities, rose 6%. Our cash flow from operating activities fell by 159 million to 58 million. Before working capital and taxes, our cash flow actually rose from 310 million to 319 million. That means that to find the reason for the reduction in our operating cash flow, we have to look at our working capital. this developed negatively, with the main factors being a sharper rise in trade receivables and a reduction in advance payments received on orders. We expect to see improvements in our cash flow from operating activities as the year progresses, with this being due to our EBITDA in the third and fourth quarters and a normalization in our working capital. Let's then look at developments in the individual segments. And I would like to start with the Customer Solutions segment. As I said before, the Customer Solutions segment comprises all our customer-related businesses, irrespective of the kind of customer, being it retail, commercial, or corporate, or the public sector. The decline in sales in this segment, down 84 million to 1.576 billion, was mainly due to the fall in gas trading volumes I referred to earlier. On an operating level, adjusted EBIT developed robustly, rising year on year by 2 million to 61 million. The previous year's result was boosted by cooler than usual weather conditions and benefited from positive one-off items. The latter also applied to the current fiscal year. Here, the positive impact of the sale of assets in the first quarter was higher than the positive items reported last year. Our business with customers produces most of our revenues, and that is still the case with our new reporting structure. We generate nearly three quarters of our sales in this segment, and at the same time, the segment contributed between a quarter and a third of our earnings. I would then like to continue with new energies. As I mentioned before, this segment includes our energy from waste plants, biomass power plants, wind turbines, and biomethane plants. It also includes our renewable energies project development and operations management activities. Segment sales grew in the first half, rising by 47 million to 356 million, with this mainly being due to our project development business. Adjusted EBIT in the new energy segment showed a slight reduction, falling by 3 million to 54 million. Our earnings in this segment benefited from higher revenues from our wind turbines due to higher wind volumes, as well as from positive performance in our environment business, mainly in the UK. In our project development business, operating earnings were up on the previous year thanks to the strong first quarter performance, but the impairment losses recognized at our UV subsidiary led to charges on earnings in the second quarter. Let's look at this impairment in more detail. Changes in the market, both in Germany and abroad, made it necessary to revisit UV strategy in the course of the year. Factors which played a role here included the high volume of projects awarded to citizens' initiatives in the first rounds of onshore wind tenders in Germany, the imposing of import duties on solar modules and crystalline solar cells in the US, and political uncertainties in South Africa. This led to a change in the management assessment and a new budget in the second quarter of 2018, the so-called triggering events for the impairment tests. The assumptions we used in the new business plan and for valuation resulted in a value adjustment of around 24 million, which has been reported under goodwill amortization. But that is only one part of the story. On a brighter note, there are positive factors as well. One key success was the wind power tender in February 2018. Here, we showed that when the conditions are fair and the distortions resulting from citizens' initiatives are corrected, we can operate competitively. What's more, the reduction in solar module prices mean that even larger scale open space solar projects are now economically viable again. We have seen that the solar market as a whole is gaining momentum, partly because some federal states have opened up arable land and grassland areas for solar energy. Having said that, we will still need to make great efforts to build on the successes achieved to date. In terms of our operations, we can also report slightly positive developments. at 577 megawatt, project development volumes for renewable energy plants are significantly higher than last year. This growth is mainly driven by our international PV activities, which contributed nearly 500 megawatt. Our operations management for renewable energy plants remains stable at around 3,000 megawatt, and thus at the same level as in the previous year. To sum up on the UV development, for what I call technical reasons, we had to account for a value adjustment, whereas, at the other hand, we experienced a number of operational successes, and we remain confident that together with cost savings and a streamlined organization, UV will further strengthen its position as one of the leading renewable enterprises. To turn to the next segment, security of supply, as I said before, this segment includes our combined heat and power generation as well as the grid business. In it, our sales grew by 7 million to 132 million. External revenues only account for a low share of total revenues in this segment. Major shares of revenues are generated internally with other reporting segments, mainly with customer solutions. Our adjusted EBIT rose by 12 million to 77 million. This was due to a one-off item, in this case, the sale of a fiber optic network. Our CHP business performed positively, albeit at a still too low level. And segment earnings were, of course, held back by lower grid fees as incentive regulation takes effect. The next chart sums up the previous ones, showing how the individual segments cumulatively shaped our adjusted EBIT. If we eliminate the one-off items for the current year, we can see that our operating earnings performed robustly on group level. Specifically, in new energies, the slight operating earnings growth here was due to our wind business and the positive performance in our environmental energy business. In supply reliability, our CHP business performed positively, however countered by lower grid fees in the wake of incentive regulation. And in customer solutions here, our operations were robust, but the weather placed a damper on our earnings. Turning briefly to strategic investments and other activities, you can see that the result shifts basically cancelled each other out. As you will know, the strategic investment segment includes our participation in MBVZZ, i.e. our Czech operations, the equity result from Stadtwerke Ingolstadt, and the small Stadtwerk Köthen Energie GmbH. Adjusted EBIT here rose by 1 million to 29 million, mainly due to positive currency translation items at our Czech subgroup. So far, my explanations of our adjusted EBIT, our key metric for judging our operations. We get to this by excluding three items from the EBIT reported in the income statement, namely financial derivatives as per IAS 39, part-time early retirement costs, and interest income from finance leases. Still sticking to this approach, our adjusted EBIT for this year's period came to 223 million as against 212 million euro last year. Before turning to our outlook, I would like to have a brief look at our turnover. Due to a fall in electricity trading volumes in the customer solutions segment, the accounts show a downturn in electricity turnover by 504 million kilowatt hours. In new energies, on the other hand, we saw a 6% increase due to pleasing developments in the wind power business. District heating turnover was down 3% to 5 billion kilowatt hours. Here it was mainly weather conditions that led to a 190 million kilowatt hours fall in turnover. By contrast, we sold a higher volume of process steam at Leuna, or waste incineration plant there. The lower volume of electricity at the Leuna plant increased the volume of process steam available for sale. Our gas turnover fell 18% to 14 billion kilowatt hours, with the lion's share of this decline being due to lower gas trading volumes. Water turnover showed a slight increase, rising by 0.2 million cubic meters. Then, ladies and gentlemen, the second to last chart shows our investments. As you will be aware, investments alongside our ongoing efforts to cut costs are the bedrock of our strategy. In the first half of the year, we invested 155 million, of which 65 went into growth and 90 million in our existing business. Currently, our largest single investment projects are building the gas-fired CHP plant in Kiel, taking over the waste-to-energy plant and building a new CHP plant in Dundee, Scotland, expanding the Friesenheimer Insel location here in Mannheim, maintaining and updating our distribution grids, and finally expanding our district heating grids and increasing the density of coverage. The CHP plant in Kiel will be replacing an older coal-powered plant also located in Kiel. That's why we have classified this project as an investment in our existing business, which is, I think, important to bear in mind. We weigh up all our investments very carefully. They all have to meet an extremely demanding mix of criteria, including sustainability, customer orientation, profitability, and conformity with our strategy. I would then like to conclude the presentation with the outlook for the full fiscal year. Given our business performance to date, we expect MBV's full year sales for 2018, and of course, excluding energy taxes, to more or less match the previous year's figure of 4 billion euro. In our 2017 annual report, we forecast slight year-on-year growth. We expected that to be driven above all by the trading business, where we are now seeing lower trading volumes, as well as the project development business, which is known for its volatility. Turning to our earnings, I can nevertheless confirm our full year forecast. As things stand, we expect our adjusted EBIT to slightly exceed the previous year's figure of 2 to 4 million. The winter is now over, so the risks from weather conditions and wind volumes for the rest of the year have fallen accordingly. Other factors that will continue to impact on our second half earnings are electricity and fuel prices, waste and biomass prices, plant availability, the clean dark spread, further reductions in grid fees due to incentive regulation, and the development in internal cost. Not only that, our adjusted EBIT remains vulnerable to volatility in our project development business. Usually, project development generates most of its earnings between October and December. The rest of the year, i.e. January to September, is mainly cost-driven. That means we expect our earnings of the second half of the year to come in much lower than the first half. But that is the normal course of events in our seasonal business and will come as no surprise to you. That, ladies and gentlemen, brings me to the end of my comments. Thank you for your interest in MBV. I will now hand you back to Philip Riemen, who will coordinate the Q&A session.